Secret Dinosaur Cult. Secret Dinosaur Cult. Secret Dinosaur Cult. Susie Hagen, a Saurus, and Jodie Mitchell, a doll, have daddy issues that they go to tackle head on.
Welcome to a special version of Secret Dinosaur Cult in the Dark. We've never been as cult as we are tonight.
But what I loved about it was that as we traipsed down into the basement, someone was like, this reminds me of a specific queer venue in London. And then I was like, yes, and also this specific queer venue in London. And then a little voice at the back was like, yes, it is like that specific queer venue in London. They're all dark.
Do you want to explain yourself, Jodie?
So the reason why we're at this special venue that we walked together as a group to is that...
Marched. I like to say marched.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of reminded me of like when little French children hold hands and walk to the playgroup together.
There was at one point one of them that crossed the road without the rest. And I was genuinely upset. I was like, oh my God, we've lost one. What do we do? You're not allowed to leave the group. You're not allowed to leave the group. It wasn't green. The man wasn't green.
Like little penguins. Safety in numbers. Don't drop the egg! Sorry, I just had a little flash to the side there. I'm very tired. This feels like a dissociative nightmare.
This is so strange. So yeah, so Jodie called me when I was in a meeting being like, they've double booked the venue. There's a band playing. And then there was this chaos for about an hour.
Yeah. And then also, apparently, at the other venue, the pizza oven broke.
Oh, yeah.
And then the pizza oven guy was really sad. He lost lots of money. So, I mean, that venue, cursed.
Yeah. And now we're here in the dark basement.
So, shout out to our incredible audience who all came to the weird basement together.
Yes.
No one spatted an eyelid. You've all congregated in the center of the room. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Really appreciate it. There's a fun high-pitched noise. Don't know what that is. But that's fine.
I made a daddy joke on the radio. I did a bunch of BBC interviews with like local BBC stations, and one of them said, "What does your parents think of you doing stand up?" And I said, "Well, if you speak to my dad, do let me know." he was not a fan of the podcast. Didn't know the reference. It got a bit dark. I was like, "Oh yeah, it's not our audience listening, is it?"
No.
Daddy, are you out there? In Essex? BBC Essex, hello?
Yes.
They were not super happy. And then another radio host said, I think live on air, said, I've been listening to your podcast, and it has really enlightened me about something that I didn't know about before that I cannot mention on the BBC. And I was like, I was so close to saying, yeah, dinosaur porn, right? It's dinosaur porn? I was like, yeah, he probably can't say that on the air.
On the air. Well, we did that gig together where, you came and did the LOL word.
Yeah.
And I tried out a new joke about my absent fathers on the stage, and the audience were sad. And then I just heard Sophie backstage like, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha, just alone. Did you do your daddy material that night, actually?
No, I think I did do it, and I actually think I called it. I think I said something like, yeah, I heard how you reacted to Jodie, so I knew you weren't going to like mine either.
It's okay. We can support each other.
That's okay. Well, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for... Oh, my God. I'm so happy.
Shall we do the podcast? Yeah. Cool.
That felt so coordinated. Okay, let's do it. We're finished. We're so close friends. We're finishing each other's size.
Look at us. That's like lesbian marriage when you get to like completing each other's size level. Beautiful times.
I'm so happy.
Okay, it's time for the terrible person segment.
Are you okay, hon? I'm Jurassic, mate. You're just the worst.
Triceratop that bitch.
Wow, you really are a terrible person.
Iguana, don't even get me started.
Sophie Hagen.
This is the first... I just had a slight panic. This is the first time we don't have the papers that tell us the color coded papers. So I was like, I don't know who starts. Who's because is it me?
It is actually you, but okay. I'm more than happy.
No. Let's stick to the rules. Let's obsessively stick to the rules. this is in the special In the Dark episode. I'm not saying that I'm like a self-censored, egotistical person, but there is no light on me and I feel it. How do we start this terrible person segment? How have you been a terrible person? No, so, we make them think of it first. Well, you cut this out, Jake. You better. or whoever's editing this. I don't even know who edits our podcast anymore. Now, this is a cult. And because it's a cult, we want to give you something that will make you stay forever, stay forever. Please lock the doors. So we want to give you the best feeling in the world, which is the feeling of self-forgiveness. So I want you all to think about the worst thing you've ever done. Really feel it, get back there in your heads. Do you want to do a little soundscape? Oh no. Was that when you pre-ejaculated soon?
Yeah, pretty much. No. Oh, I've let myself down. I've let the couple down.
And now, we forgive you. Feels good, doesn't it? But now, something more fun. Us. Jodie, how have you been a terrible person in history?
So, this is something that I've actively chosen to not talk about on this podcast because I was worried that the person I did this to would listen, because we do have one listener in Malmo, where she is. And I imagine that it's her. So I wasn't going to talk about it, but I've decided that I don't care. So after I was broken up with in my second year of university, I found myself in a situation where my ex, who'd moved to France, had left a lot of her possessions at mine because before we broke up, I was like, look, you're moving to France for your year in France. Let me take care of your possessions in my really gorgeous Edinburgh flat that has lots of extra storage area. Just put it in there. And then we broke up and the cupboard became highly traumatic to go into. But what I was also left with was a very nice bike that did, of course, belong to her. But it was also useful, so I used it. And one day I cycled into town with it and then I got very, very drunk to the point where I couldn't cycle back. So I looked it up and I left it there. And I actually locked it up outside the shop that her friend worked in without realizing. And then I just kind of left it there. So I visited it again and I was going to pick it up and take it home. But then it seemed like massive amounts of effort because I'd got on a better bike that I always cycled into town because I was so lazy. So I didn't really want to lock that up, take the other bike home, then walk back in to get my... Ugh, no! Huge effort. 10 minutes of walking. So I left it there again, and then I did this several more times until parts of it began to be stolen. And at one point I was like, I should move it because her friend works there. Her friend definitely recognizes the bike. They've lived together for 2 years. She definitely recognizes the bike. She will tell her that I've done this to her bike. And I was like, I hate that girl. I'm just going to let her bike be slowly stolen like a monument to my grief. So I left it there for an entire year. And then it got like a little notice being like, we're going to remove it. So I was like, oh, I should probably just let that happen at some point. But then it didn't happen for ages and ages and ages until we found out that she was coming back for a visit from her year abroad, and I was like, oh, fuck, like the shell of her bike is still sort of outside, and by this point the chain had kind of broken in half from rust and it was just sort of sadly trailing along the floor. Both bike tires had been stolen, the seat had been stolen, the handlebars had been stolen, someone had taken a piece of brake cable. I don't even know how you efficiently use that. Someone had stolen the stickers off of one side.
Oh,
vicious, vicious way to treat the bike carcass. So then my friends and I decided that we would do a sort of purging of the emotion around it. And they came with me to collect the bike carcass, which obviously couldn't be wheeled. so three of us processed the bike along the road to the nearest large bins, and then we deposited it. And my friend said a eulogy to the relationship. And then we walked away. And then it turned out that the big bin we'd put it in, which was our local student theatre that we all benefited from and loved very much, actually got into huge trouble with the council for the bike carcass. And I never owned up to it because she was involved in that theatre and I did not want her to know it was me. So that was bad.
I mean, yeah. But you know what? I forgive you.
Thanks, you guys.
Is she Swedish? Or does she just live in Sweden?
No, she's not Swedish. She's just like really cool. So she lives in Sweden now.
That's not a sentence.
Yeah, I know.
that's not a thing. I said that live on radio today that Swedish people sound stupid. I don't know why. I'm so bad when it's live radio. That's not even my terrible person thing.
Scandinavian Kitchen is going to stop giving you free stuff if you start insulting Sweden all the time.
No, because they're part Finland and Norway as well.
Okay.
So we all hate Sweden.
Okay, fair.
So if anything, they'll probably encourage it. I went around IKEA just talking Swedish. Just to be like, this is how they sound. Hey, you know, you're the svenska, are you? God, and then I told him in IKEA. I don't know if it is Swedish, but that's how they sound. You're the svenska. You heard it, bro. I swear to God.
You know when The Bridge was on TV? Yeah. Were you able to watch that without being
angry? No, it was really good. Well, funny you should mention The Bridge. The thing about The Bridge, Jodie, I don't know if I mentioned it.
Don't fucking talk about it again. I know that I you got off with him.
So the main character, season 1, 2, and 3, I believe.
Kim Brodnia. Kim Brodnia. Yeah.
We totally made out with tongues. So I think that was my main focus when watching The Bridge, actually. I didn't even notice that there was a Swede in there.
I was watching, because he's now in Killing Eve.
Yes, he is also in Killing Eve. Right? The same guy that I have made out with, who looks a lot like
your dad. Yeah. And I was watching Killing Eve with my partner, and I was like, oh, I just really want Kim Bodnia to be my dad. Like, he has such a good dad energy. And then my partner was like, didn't you say Sophie got off with him, finds him really attractive? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah. One thing doesn't exclude the other.
So, Sophie.
Yeah.
How have you been a terrible person?
Well, mine is a bunch of smaller acts of terribleness.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm 30, and I recently moved into... I want to say my own place, but that sounds like I own a place. I do not own a place. I'm renting a place, but I live there as the only person that I know of. I mean, you just can never be you can never be too certain. But as far as I know, I'm the only one there. Mm. But I'm not there all the time. So it doesn't matter. So, and then it started to smell, and I was like, ooh. And with most things, I've been just kind of messaging my older and more capable friends. Be like, how do you do this? Like, I messaged you and asked you to come and beat my radiator.
Yeah.
I was just been going, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this because there's a lot of things I don't know how to do. And then I almost sent the messages again. Why does it smell? Help. What could it be? Turns out, and now there might be people listening who can use this, the bin. All the garbage. So
you can't take your bins out.
You know what? I knew I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I didn't know I hadn't done it. First 18 years of my life, lived with my mother and my sister. Then after that, I have lived with other people in a shared kitchen dorm thing situation. Mm-hmm. Then I've lived with a friend. Then I've lived in another dorm room situation. Then I've lived with 2 people. Then I've lived with 5 people. Then I've lived with 4 people. Then I lived with 2 people. No bins have ever been taken out by me. Ever. I could feel it when I did it that this was a new feeling. I was like, wow, you lift it. Oh, it's heavy, isn't it? 30 years. This is new. I have to really remind myself to do it. It annoys me that it's just full and it doesn't just magically just empty itself.
Yeah.
There are several kinds of bins. There's a green bin. There's a black bin. Some people have a brown bin.
Mm. Mm. What's your recycling situation?
That, I believe that's a green one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've been there this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've learned all this now. I'm very proud.
I mean, I'm very proud.
But I don't know where to get the recycling bags to put the recycling stuff into.
Oh, usually they get delivered by your council, right?
I have yet to see one.
Well then, shame on them.
Shame on them.
Do you have like a communal letterbox at the front that maybe someone else has taken them?
Yes. They could have, but what a thing to steal.
Yeah.
What a boring thing to steal.
Yeah, you're so
right. I might have to mess with my landlord again. So remember me. I was the one who last week asked you, what is direct debit? And also, what was my rent again? Because I don't have the contract. I am useless. I am useless.
Do you want me to... Because where I have therapy is very conveniently close to Sophie's new house. I could come round after therapy on a Friday.
Take out my bins?
Take out
this
your bin.
Day.
And bleed your radiators.
Yes, please.
Yeah?
How do you feel about water pressure?
Oh, I'm so good at water pressure.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
It's
How
just you have to turn
gardening?
One knob and then the... Oh, well, you see, I'm allergic to most things. And one of them is pollen.
Yeah, then you're not going to like my garden.
No, no. I did look at the photo of it, and my thought was,
How do you feel about laundry?
Really positively about laundry.
Yeah, you can do my laundry.
Absolutely.
Like
Will you
unfair.
Take over doing all of the social media for this podcast?
Yeah, fair enough.
Great, we figured it out! Well, Sophie, I forgive you.
We forgive you, Sophie.
Thank you. You've clearly not lived with me. Speaking of people who've clearly not lived with me.
It's time for the daddy hole segment. Now, it's my turn to do the jingle for the segment, because obviously we don't have a pre-made jingle for this segment. We deliver our own. just got to focus for a second, get the beat back into my head. Yeah, I think I've got it.
I'm very excited.
Okay. I also think this is quite a good room to be doing live music in, because there's no light. It really...
Use the piano
the
behind
piano
us.
The piano behind us, yeah. Jake is in a band and called Hot Weather Goths, which is brilliant. And when we came in, I was like, can you play piano? He was like, no. And I was like, God damn it, Jake!
What can you do apart from save this entire day and the whole podcast?
Okay. You made a fool of me, but then broken dreams have got to end. Da 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 da. Hey dad, you got the blues. Cause you ain't got no one else to use. There's an open road that leads nowhere. So just make some miles between here and there. Ha ha, dad, it's a crying shame. But you ain't got nobody else to blame. Da 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 da. Evil dad. Evil dad. Evil dad. Evil dad. Thank you. So, Sophie, how have you filled your daddy hole this week?
I have learned what goes into the three drawers in the washing machine. The first, the two lines is washing powder,
mm-hmm.
and the little snowflake is social justice. No, is fabric softener. Same thing. And then the one line is pre-wash, which apparently you use if something is really dirty.
Mm. I didn't know that. Did it work? Did he come back?
No. Jodie, how did you fill your daddy hole this week?
I tried a new brand of toothpaste that's charcoal-based
yeah.
that promised to make my teeth slightly whiter with each use.
And did it work? Did he come back?
No.
Okay. That's that bit, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's nice having a family member in the room as well. It's true! And that means that with that, it's now time to introduce this week's dinosaur.
It's time to introduce the dinosaur.
Which dinosaur?
The dinosaur.
Yeah, but which one?
The one which we will project all our shoes on.
Oh, that dinosaur.
I am so excited. I have never had more fun preparing for this podcast as when I discovered this. And I'm kind of nervous that it's something that everyone knows about. Because in all of the podcasts I've listened to, they were like, this is hugely famous and everyone's heard of it. But I think they may just be talking about like paleontologists. So basically the dinosaur is, and we're going to get slack for this because it's technically a reptile, but a reptile from 80 million years ago. So
we're going to get trolled by that guy again.
Oh my God. Yes. We got trolled.
Yeah. We got our first ever troll. Baby's first troll.
Oh my God. What was it? He said, he was furious. He tweeted something like, I just found this fucking annoying podcast where they keep, what did he say? They keep claiming that.
Oh no, he was like, not only did they claim that the ichthyosaur was a dinosaur rather than a mammal, but don't associate dinosaurs with feminism and lesbianism.
Yes. Yes.
We were like, but that's our favorite thing to do.
It was, yeah, I found it. An ichthyosaur isn't even a dinosaur. It's a marine reptile. Please don't ruin dinosaurs and marine life for me by bringing it into lesbianism and feminism. And then I wrote, I answered on behalf of us, pretty sure it's a dinosaur because it lived thousands of years ago.
You should also be like, P.S. I know you love the underwater life scene, but dolphins are gay.
Then I went to his profile because I couldn't let it go. And then he had tweeted, I just encountered a Twitter account belonging to a feminist that likes dinosaurs. But then she goes and calls an ichthyosaur a dinosaur despite it being a marine reptile. I want to die. Go ahead, mate. Anyway. So this dinosaur, are you listening? BGS on Twitter, whatever it's called, is an Elasmosaurus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of, if you imagine a Brontosaurus, you know, the long-necked ones, but underwater, right? So it has a huge, like a really, really long neck. It's the whole thing, the whole dinosaur is 10.3 meters long. That's 34 feet. Really long. It has a huge, 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 huge long neck, which is surprisingly actually not that flexible. But then it has a very short tail, and then it has like fins, like kind of fishy fins.
Okay.
Sure. And so it's like a fish version of the Brontosaurus. Oh, he's going to love that, isn't he, the troll? It's a genus?
Genus
of a plesiosaur. We've had them before. It's lived in North America. It was in the Campanian stage of the late Cretaceous. That's 80.5 million years ago.
Ooh.
It had fang-like teeth at the front and then smaller teeth at the back of its mouth. Just in case you needed that for the drawing.
Yep.
Now, it was found in 1867 near Fort Wallace in Kansas. And we will get back to that because this is the real story. The story of the Bone Wars.
That sounds like a porn film.
No, that's the Boning Wars.
Oh, so sorry. So sorry.
Has anyone heard of the Bone Wars? Yeah, it's not fucking famous. What's up? Did someone hear about it? Oh, it's the best. Please don't correct me if I'm wrong. So, right. You need to meet two people. You need to meet Edward Drinker Cope, and you need to meet Othniel Charles Marsh, okay? Mm-hmm. Edward, born in 1840, he was born very wealthy. He was like a child prodigy. They say he published his first scientific paper at the age of 19. He was said to be pugnacious and have a quick temper. Right, so imagining him now, you're imagining Edward, very wealthy, but didn't ever get like a significant education. He was just very smart, right? I'm doing air quotes here. It's said that he, during his whole life, ended up writing 1,200 scientific papers over the course of his life. It's a lot of papers.
Mm.
Now, 9 years earlier, Othniel Charles Marsh was born. He was born into a poor family, but he had a very rich uncle who made sure he got into a very high education. I think he went to Yale, and that's how he got into paleontology. And he was sort of the opposite of Cope, because he was slow and introverted. So there were these two opposites. But in 1864, they met in Berlin, and they became great friends. They became such good friends that they, when they began to find dinosaurs, they would name them after each other. So there's lots of dinosaurs. A lot of them are no longer valid because they learned a lot since then, but they would name them after each other. That's how close they were. But you know how it works when strong personalities meet. So one day, so around this time, they didn't go out and dig themselves to find the dinosaurs. People would go out and do that for them, and then they would just send them to them, and then they would analyze it and build them and write about them. So one day, Marsh paid Cope's hired diggers to send the fossils to him instead of Cope. And that unleashed hell that would affect paleontology forever.
That backstabbing bone bitch.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So from then on, it was war between these two, and it was public. So Cope and Marsh attacked and slandered each other in print, like to the press everywhere, just like tried to destroy each other completely. They would start this race to find the dinosaurs. So they were just so desperate to find more dinosaurs than the other guy that when they did find something, but they couldn't quite do more with the digging site, they would like explode it. They would put dynamite into it and ruin loads of fossils just so that the other person couldn't find them.
That is so fucked up.
I know. They're so this is like, I mean, they're not even in the Ross Geller corner of shame. They're like, they own it. Like, they're beyond it. This is
like a paleontology spin-off of Scandal. Like, this is outrageous.
It's so good. So they would spy on each other.
Yeah.
And at one point, one of them demanded that all of the people who worked for him wrote something down so he could check that their handwriting, that they weren't the other guy in disguise. Like, they were properly trying to
see his disguise. Like,
I don't know. I mean, it's a long time ago. You probably didn't see each other like all day and on social media. I would forget how people looked, even my worst enemy. But it's a bit sad, isn't it? You have to go, are you my worst enemy? No? Okay, good. Welcome. Come in. It's just this whole dynamite situation when they destroyed all these fossil sites. It's worth mentioning that most of those places were in like a Native American land. So they actually destroyed a lot of...
So
it's really bad. As if it's not bad enough without that. But then in 1868, the skeleton of the Elasmosaurus landed in Cope's hands, right? And he, because he was so desperate to win over Marsh, he assembled this huge dinosaur really quickly and published about it everywhere to be like, ha ha ha, I found this huge new species of dinosaurs. And what he showed for himself was a dinosaur with a very long tail and a very short neck. He had put the head on the tail. One of the biggest errors to date within paleontology. This is, imagine how embarrassing this is. Imagine how shameful it is to fuck it up this badly. So Marsh had a field day.
Mm.
So Marsh went out and just, I mean, mocked him in all the papers. He like openly just, ha ha ha, mocked him. Now this whole thing, I mean, in a way it's good. It's good because it led to them finding 136 new species of dinosaurs, which is really good for...
Pretty good.
Our podcast.
Yeah.
And you'll get at least 136 episodes. I mean, a lot of these are no longer valid because, you know how it works. Then they find one, they think it's a new one, but actually a baby one of the other one or whatever. But it ruined them. It ruined these two men. They both ended up completely financially and socially broken. No one wanted to work with them. Cope was the first one to die, and he died in 1897, completely broke. Like, he had to sell all of his fossil collections. It was really bad. He couldn't get enough money for it because people knew he was desperate. Mm-hmm. And his last wish was that his skull should be donated to science so that they could measure it, so he could prove that he had a bigger brain than Marsh. Imagine that. Wow. But in the end, it's said that Cope lost because he found 56 new species and Marsh found 80. Now, they're not all valid, but that was sort of the I mean, I think we can all agree that none of them won. No one won. But amongst the dinosaurs that they did find, they found the Triceratops, the Allosaurus, the Diplodocus.
Oh, that's...
Yeah,
that's
we know that one.
Some big ones.
Yeah, Stegosaurus. They found a lot of the big, really big ones. And because everyone heard about the Bone Wars, everyone heard about this rivalry, that was the first time dinosaurs became really popular. People got super into dinosaurs because they were hearing about this horrific rivalry. And that is when people started idolizing dinosaurs. The topic for the day, very connected to the story, is idols.
Ooh.
Am I pronouncing it correctly? Idols.
Because
you don't want to say the other one.
I-D-L-E.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with it.
I can't believe that it was that toxic.
It was way... I mean, there are... So there are books about it, there are documentaries. That I couldn't hear all of it, but I wanted to because it's so exciting. The way they talk about each other, trying to destroy it, it's so interesting.
I mean, I've drawn this special picture. So here's the dinosaur. Obviously, none of us can see anything, but here's the dinosaur. I've given it two special tattoos. On its tail, I've given it a neck tattoo. And actually, because of what they put this dinosaur through, I thought it would probably want revenge, which is why on a chain around its neck, it's got that guy's skull.
Cup skull. That's amazing. And a hat.
Yeah, well, the hat was just for a bit of, you know, colour.
I think the reason that I would love to talk about this whole idea of idols is because we've kind of entered into this. Well, first of all, I have a past. A dark, dark past with idolizing.
Yeah.
Because I used to have a tiny interest in a certain boy band. So I've kind of been on the dark side of it. But now I think now we're all experiencing the same dread all the time, which is that all of the people we look up to are problematic, every single one of them.
Mm.
And I think it makes it worth thinking about the idea of even having idols or idolizing people kind of the goods and the bads. Did you have any, do you have idols? Have you had idols?
I had some idols growing up. Yes. It was Noel Fielding.
Isn't it the worst when you can meet them now? Isn't it the worst?
Yeah. I got a red mullet to be like him. It was so mullety, you guys. It was so mullety. It was a proper mullet. It was a Noel Fielding mullet. And I had it for so long. It was so bad. And I was still in the closet as well.
I mean,
like, visiting
you?
My, like... The... Well, I mean, I know. I was, like, visiting the side of the family that's Catholic. Like, I'm sure they won't realise. It's just my bright red mullet. Yeah, oh my God. It was so intense, and I thought I had a crush on Noel Fielding. No, I did not. I think because he was the first, big influential comedian that I could easily watch, that I didn't have to, like, rootle around on YouTube for, because I didn't have, like, we didn't really have a computer at home, so I couldn't do that thing where you, like, just obsessively research people, so it had to be, my idols were all people that I had DVDs of because people had bought me them for Christmas. They had to be the kind of people that a family member could buy you a DVD of. And I got bought DVDs of the Mighty Boosh because people were like, what do you want a pretty bangle? And I was like, I would love some comedy DVDs. And they're like, this one seems weird. Do you like this one? I was like, I've never heard of it, but thank you. Yeah, so I got really obsessed with him because he obviously is quite gender fluid in the way that he, like, presents himself, which obviously in the context of the social media influences that I pay attention to now was, like, nothing. But at the time, it was, like, And so I thought I had a really big crush on him, but I think I just found the only male celebrity that I could fantasize with actually a lesbian and just got really fixated.
Have you met him?
No, not yet.
You will, though, at some point. And here he is!
imagine if I just, like, dressed myself up like Sandy Toksvig and infiltrated
Yes, I will just now try and imagine that wild image in my head. Oh, no, I can't possibly imagine how that would look. Oh, the difference.
I know. I do want to do a drag act called Randy Toksvig still. I really want to do it. Think how good it would be. Can tutor me in the accent.
Do you think you'd be, you know... Like, do you think you'd react weirdly if you met him now?
No, I think it'd be chill. I kind of got over it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so what?
Although he has dyed his hair blonde now, which, and my hair's blonde.
Oh, my God.
The narcissism is kicking back in.
Well, I, you know, Desiree Birch, an amazing comedian, messaged me a very embarrassing text where she was like, you're into Westlife, aren't you? And I was like, excuse me, I was when I was a child, but now I'm an adult and I no longer, excuse me, how dare you? And she was like, I know nothing, I'm American, so, but I'm doing the Jonathan Ross show and they're apparently on, do you want to come? And I was like, yes, I would like to come, but just to hang out with you. I have no interest in, I don't really care about West Side or whatever they're called. It was so strange. I did feel like I wasn't desperate to talk to them or meet them even. Mm. But seeing them, I mean, you can't, like, if you felt something that strongly about anything, you know, there are exes that I hate, but if I saw them, I'd still be like, oh, it's them.
Right. Yeah.
Would you not think you'd have like a tiny little Jodie inside of you is like, oh my God, the mallard.
Maybe. I don't know. The ex thing I can't relate to that much because in general, when I make an ex, like a baby,
I'll make an ex out of you.
When a person and a person love each other very much and then they don't love each other very much anymore, they make a little ex. They tend to just like move to another country and then I never see them again. So I just haven't had to deal with that much.
Okay. But then going back to a school you went to, do you not feel? I sound like my own therapist now.
Oh no, the school, go into your body, sit feel within it. A child. They're crying.
That's how you had to ask my therapist how to feel. I was like, cause I was like, right, okay, so, you know what you said last time about I had to feel my feelings? How?
A classic.
Because I now understand that I should.
Yeah.
But how? And she taught me. Yeah. And I've been trying, there's like an actual exercise. Have I told you?
I think I did it with my therapist. I know.
Do you want to exchange how to feel tips?
Okay. So my therapist made me do a brief meditation. And then she made me visualize where the feeling in my body was.
Uh-huh.
And then we visualized my inner child.
Oh, good one.
And she was like, so now you're sitting in the room with little Jodie. What are they doing? I was like, they're telling jokes. And she was like, that's because you haven't processed anything. It's like, but that's so funny.
Is little Jodie telling jokes?
Yeah, little Jodie was telling jokes. It was adorable. God, and so amazing. Funny as well. They're so
that's
talented.
That's amazing. Yeah. Mine's just sad. When I was 18, the first time I had to imagine my inner child, I was like, yeah, she's sitting on a bed. She's like, that sounds nice. I was like, no, it's like a metal bed with no mattress and it's very dark and it's in the corner of a very wet basement. She was like, okay, yeah. So could you place, is there a window? I was like, no. Like, could you place maybe make a window? And she made me build a whole room for her in my head. Mm. Sort of worked. I'm fine. Still in therapy. It's been 15 years. It's fine. Mine was very practical. So it was so you blow out like all the air you can blow out, like, and then you breathe in normally, and then blow everything out again. Breathe in. So you stabilize your breath because when you're trying to not feel, your breath becomes shallow because you're trying. Your jaw becomes tight because you're escaping from your body. Basically, you're trying to become just a thinking head. So you have to breathe and stabilize your breathing so that you can feel. Then you just start to feel the feelings. It is very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I've been trying to do it. And you feel not cool because you're like, oh, sadness, shit. but it's very interesting to force it, to try and force it.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
Very good.
Proud of you and little Jodie. I think that's Thanks. So cute. That's heartbreaking.
I know.
Ugh. How old is she? Them. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, so fine.
I slammed my hand against it. as like a Jesus self-punishment thing. I'm terribly sorry. I'm bad.
Look, I imagine if you had sudden stigmata. It's like...
non-binary Jesus punishment.
It would be incredible. Like 12, I think. So like just before.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, okay. Mine's
just
five.
Pre-puberty. Oh, so little.
So little, yeah.
Oh, so small.
Yeah, I'm glad that yours wasn't five. Telling jokes, I'd be really jealous.
Yeah, right.
I'd be like going into myself, being like, "Can you be funnier? You're not going to hang out with Jody's little Jody.
We're not going to get you two together for a play date because you'll show me up." Maybe that's why they're
I'm
crying.
Removing the window.
Do you have idols that you've made as an adult? Because obviously, the Westlife time. Was born during your childhood.
Yeah. I think that when I was a bit older, it was weirdly, well, not weirdly, but it became Danny Wallace for a long time.
Who is that?
He wrote Yes Man.
Who is that?
Are you joking?
I'm so sorry.
Are you joking?
What's Yes Man? Did I do wrong? I'm so sorry.
You've obviously done. It became a movie with Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a very, when I read it, I was like, this is mind blowing. This is changing my life. It's about this guy.
Okay, and he has to say yes to everything.
He has to say yes to everything. And that has hilarious consequences. But now, once I've become aware of the world, everything's been ruined, hasn't it? So now I'm like, oh yeah, of course you can say yes to everything. You're a white man. In the book, it's like someone says, come to Amsterdam and meet me. And he's like, okay. And then I'm like, oh, but now I'm thinking, well, I couldn't because that's dangerous. You know, there's so a woman who's like, come home with me. And he's like, okay. Mm. And I'm like, well, I could never because then you'd get murdered. And, you know, well, if it was a man, obviously, if it was a woman. So yeah, now it's just like a really annoying book about someone who just is able to do a lot of things that I couldn't do.
Yeah.
For various reasons. But I loved it. So it really, I would always read it. That's a sad sentence. I would always read it after a breakup. And then just feel, like, remind myself that, yeah, I should say yes to more things.
Mm.
And now I've learned that I don't want to. but I was a really big fan. And then he did my podcast. And I was really nervous. I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to
I thought you meant Jim Carrey did your podcast. And I was like, I have not seen a Jim Carrey episode of Made of Human.
I would love that. Yeah. Jim, if you're listening. No, Danny Wallace. Also impressive. Not as impressive, but it's fine. And it was weird. It was a bit weird. But then he was just a regular person. And that's always... That's why it's disappointing, isn't it? Because everyone's human. So someone messaged me, and when I first saw like a DM on Instagram, and when I first saw it, I thought it said, I got a tattoo of your face. And I was so terrified. And then I read it, and it was, what would you do if someone got it? Which is still menacing. What would you do if someone got a tattoo of your face? I'm like, no, please don't. But,
do you remember that picture that fan drew of you? It was really bad.
It was so bad. It was so bad. And I thought it was on purpose. I thought it was... So I posted it and I was like, oh, I hate Twitter. I hate social media. And then her older sister got in touch being like, she's very sad because she said that her drawing wasn't good. It wasn't good though. It looked absolutely... terrifying.
But it was so sad as well. It was so horrible, like watching it unfold, like at every turn. It was just like,
so, that's a really good, I should have done it for a terrible person thing. Just me being like, oh, look what I had to deal with on the internet. And then just my little sister is crying because she's actually a big fan and she'd been looking forward to you seeing the picture. I feel horrible and I apologized and I took it down. But at the same time, it was very offensive. I'm going to try and see if I can put it on Instagram.
You know what? We'll edit this bit out, but if anyone gets a tattoo of that on them,
that would be so okay.
Free tickets for life.
That would be so okay. But it's just this idea of, yeah, the idea of idolizing is so terrifying, isn't it? Because everyone's so human. And I think maybe, I don't know, I think we, I know that my Westlife thing was me just desperately wanting like a false sense of security and something that felt real and something that felt, but without being it, because that would be scary. So mm-hmm. it was this like glossy picture of these perfect people and that I could have all these fantasies about, but it was so safe because it was so far away.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, and now, you know, they're on social media and I follow them on social media. And I think every single time I see a tweet from them, I'm like, oh, come on, please, can you just say something that's really good or insightful or just clever or funny or, and this is not happening. And they, and that, of course it hasn't. They've been a blank canvas from the moment they were 16 that Lewis yeah. Walsh and what Simon Cowell or whatever have just pushed, you know, things on so that we can then reflect back to us as fans. But it's just, oh, I was not in love with you. I was in love with this idea. And I think that's often what you do when you idolize. You have this idea of, also the opposite when you, I don't know what it's called, when you're, you know, when people are like, oh, this person we all hate all the time. We hate this person is bad. And you do it with such vitriol. And yeah. like, they're this one thing forever. And both things are kind of maybe not totally about that person.
I'm sorry that Westlife couldn't be better for you.
Right? I mean, meeting Brian was, oh, what a shame.
What happened?
Oh, it was just so sad. It was,
he just like, I'm Brian. And you were like, this is a letdown.
Not... yeah, to his face. Hello, my name is Brian. Oh, what a letdown. have I not told the story in the podcast before when I was on my boyfriend at the time. I've mentioned him before in all of the terrible person segments. Mm. He was meeting my friends for the first time. And then I got a text from my manager. And it was just a picture of him with Brian. And then he sent me an address. He was like, come here now. And I was like, get in the car! We're going to West London! And then like in the car, I was trying to explain to my new boyfriend, like, okay, I'll ask no questions, say nothing, do nothing. I'll explain later. Just pretend it's not happening. Forgive me. Mm. And then we got there and we had to pay like £60 to get in because it was some kind of celebrity charity something. It was horrible. And it was all like, I knew no one there, but I think they were like reality stars and I didn't watch TV and anything. So, and then there was the VIP section where Brian was,
mm-hmm.
but like just Brian alone. In the VIP section.
Oh, poor Brian.
And the bouncer just let me through because he was like, yeah, it's just Brian. So I walked over with my manager, and when Brian saw me, he went, Sophie Hagen, Sophie Hagen, Sophie Hagen. And I panicked, and I went, Brian from Westlife, Brian from Westlife, Brian from Westlife. And he said, I've heard about your show. Because at this point I was doing Bubble Wrap, my first show, which was about being a Westlife fan.
Mm.
And I was like, oh my God, you've heard about my show? That's amazing. And he said, yeah, your fans keep tweeting me about it. And that's because after every single show, I would say to people, please tweet at Brian McFadden. But I'd never seen anyone do it. I just didn't think that people would actually do it. But then apparently they had. So I was like, oh. And I was like, oh, well, you know, they're really sweet. Like, my fans are really lovely. And then he leaned in and he said, oh, yeah? Mine are fucking crazy. I was like, I'm right here. I'm talking to my face. Like, I'm one of them. What are you doing?
But Brian is traumatized, I think.
And then he was like, yeah, I'm gonna try and come and see it. And I was like, oh, that would be amazing. And he was like, yeah, are you being nice about me? And I was like, yeah. It's so nice. And my manager like swept in and talked to his manager and like exchanged cards. Like, yeah, we'll get this, you know, we'll do it. It'll be so good for Brian. It'll be so good for Brian. So if he's going to be a star, it's going to be all the manager crap. And I was just like nodding. And then I said to my, Chris, my manager, is like, walk away, we don't want to push it, we don't want to push it, don't want to, you know, don't be like, she's going to be a star, because then he'll get jealous. So we like walked away, and I was trying to get my boyfriend at the time to understand all of this with my eyes. I was like, just don't do anything, just say nothing, do nothing. And then we had to hang around, so it didn't look like I'd arrive just to speak to him. And then run out again. So we had to just, like, stand at this weird bar, be like, don't look at him, don't look at him, don't look at him. I mean, I've never been a fan of Russell Brand, but not that I'm not. Well, I'm not. But not that I... It's not... I'm not saying I didn't like him, I just had no relationship
with him. I'm saying nothing! I'm saying nothing!
Oh, we're going to have to beep everything out! but I was... I'd been stood up. I was meant to go to someone's party, and then after an open mic, and then they just didn't... They just left me. So another comedian, Daniel Simonsen, a Norwegian comedian, so we like him, he was like, yeah, come to my friend's house. He's having a birthday party. I was like, cool. So we went, and he'd never told me who the friend was. And then as we knocked the front door, he went, oh yeah, by the way, my friend Simon Amstel. I was like, what? And then the door opened, and it was Simon Amstel. And I was a big fan of Simon Amstel. Like, I really loved him. I'd watched all of the Nevermind the Buzzcocks. I watched them in Denmark. Like, we were all sitting after each show watching Nevermind the Buzzcocks. And I was like, oh my God, I don't want to crash Simon Amstel's birthday party. So in my head, I was like, right, I'm going to go in there, hide in a corner for a bit, and then walk out. Just walk straight out again. I'm not going to do this. This is horrible. And Simon Amstel, when he opened the door, went, the party ended a few hours ago. And then Daniel was just like, oh. And he went, but come in. So we walked in, and it was just Simon Amstel, Simon Amstel's boyfriend, and then me and Daniel sitting on this couch. And they were clearly, like, on their way to bed. So they, like, found some birthday cake in the fridge and some beers. And we just sat there, and I was like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. And then Simon Amstel said, oh, I've seen you on YouTube. You did that rap battle. And I was like, oh, yeah, I did. He was like, that was funny. I was like, oh, thank you. I just wanted to die. And then the doorbell rang, and he was like, who is this? Like, the party's over. What's happening? And he walked over, he opened the door, and Russell Brand walks in and, like, says hello to everyone. And then he just goes to meet. He's like, oh, I just need to go to the bathroom. And then when he was gone, Simon Amstel turned to the rest of the crowd and went, oh my God, it's Russell Brand. I was like, what? You don't know him? What's he doing? Is he robbing you? And then he came back, and it was just me, Simon Amstel, Russell Brand, Daniel Simonsen, and Simon Amstel's boyfriend just having a chat for a few hours. And it was all ruined when Simon Amstel was talking about having gone to South America, and he was talking about having gotten, like, an enlightenment, like having done ayahuasca.
Oh, ayahuasca.
Yeah, we're tired of hearing about that now, aren't we? So he was talking about all this spirituality, and he was explaining this thing that had happened to him, like, spiritually, and he was like, it was amazing, and I found the truth, and blah blah blah. And he was like, but I just can't, like, I don't know what it is, but I went through all of these things. And I said, oh, my friend did that. My friend explained that exact situation. And I was like, did this and this and this also happen? And he was like, oh my God, yes, I've never told anyone that. Oh my God, yes, that happened too. And I was like, my friend did that, and he found the answer to it. And so I was like, what is it? And I was like, oh, Islam. That experience is described in the Quran as, like, the evidence of Islam. And I don't know if you know this about Simon Amstel, very atheist. So then the mood got a bit weird when I'd basically suggested that he should
convert. Yeah.
And then we left. And we all left.
Thank you for telling the story of the time you brought Islam to Simon Amstel's ended birthday party.
Well, it is the Ramadan. I'd like to talk about what I've done for the community.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
I'm okay with leaving that in. That all happened.
Yeah.
And I met someone else again recently, and he's very good at being awkward. So he was just like, oh yeah, we've met. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, that was awkward. And he was like, yeah.
Well, I feel like, you know what? I wish I could contribute more to an episode on idols, but I think what I did instead of, like, obsessing over one particular person is I just watched compilation videos on YouTube of, like, all of the lesbian scenes in certain series. And that's what I did from, like, age 14 up. So yeah. I think that's what took my time up.
Do you think you've idolized lesbianism?
I think I idolized lesbianism, yeah. think that's what I did. Just put it on that little pedestal.
You've led it now, so congratulations.
And it wasn't a disappointment. Lesbianism is real the only idol that doesn't let you down.
It's lesbianism.
And on that note.
And on that note.
I think it's time for the bedtime story.
Dino Erotica is a thing. It's cool, we ain't kink-shaming. In fact, we like it so much, we're gonna read some out to you now. Let's see what you think.
So, this week's Dino Erotica is actually a listener submission, and I haven't read it yet. But the name that's listed is Jane Italia.
Oh, I get it. I've seen that name, like, because I sent it to you.
Yeah.
I only just...
It's
I was
gorgeous.
Like, oh, someone from Italy.
Well, they say, hello, my dears. This is my first time ever writing Dino Erotica. Just like you, I am now kind of aroused when hearing the bedtime stories, and I felt the need to contribute. Hope this is good enough. Oh, I'm sure it will be. Stay sexy. Okay. This is called Voulez-vous dino avec moi? Oh, it's written like a diary. Oh my God, incredible. It has entries. Day one. Dear diary. Was it ever meant to hurt this much? All alone in my spaceship, I think of how alienated I felt when I told my best friend Stacy about my mysterious cravings. She said she'd stand by me through anything. But I know that to be false now that I'm travelling on my own to the edge of the universe to fulfil my biggest dream. To be impregnated by a parasaurolophus. Amazing dream. Day two, dear diary. I've been working out. I've learned through extensive Google researches that parasaurolophuses love a tight body. I think I'm ready now. It also helps that I ran out of food 2 days in and I'm now feeding off the only nutrient I have left, pure sexual energy. Day three, dear diary. Tall green trees colour the horizon. This planet is fertile for sure, but is it more fertile than me? I browsed through the bushes all day, hoping to find a nest, and I did. I was puzzled when observing the Parasaurolophus's eggs. Really can't say that dinosaur name. Their sheer size made me reconsider my whole endeavour. But now that my spaceship fuel has run out and I'm stuck here for all eternity, what other choice do I have? Day four. Dear diary, I've stolen a Parasaurolophus's egg and ate it. Creepy turn! The dinosaur shouldn't be too long now. Hopefully my murderous ways will ignite anger that will culminate in sweet dinosaur sex. Day five. The dino is finally here. I lose myself in his eyes. He can see bits of the omelette I cooked with his egg are spattered on the floor. Oh, God.
You have to start reading them ahead of time.
I know. I know we keep saying that, but this is it's like a whole other thing. He roars in horror. He runs toward me. I'm scared he's going to impale me. It turns out he has something else in mind. In one violent bang, my whole body flies up and my vagina lands on his massive horn. Going back and forth, I'm in total bliss before realizing this will never get me pregnant. I bend over, Cirque du Soleil style, and whisper to his ear, "Dino cock now." He pulls away, throws me against the wall, and dives penis first in my waters. I've reached a level of pleasure so high that moaning has now been replaced by an endless high-pitched scream. After 4 hours of relentless sex, he comes inside me in a heavy grunt. A dino-sized load fills my insides. This is it, Stacy. Day 45. Dear Stacy, I did it. I had a dino baby. He's beautiful, and you were wrong to judge me. Sadly, I see little of him, now that the Parasaurolophus has decided to keep me prisoner in his nest. My only task, day in, day out, is to polish his eggs and wait silently for his lovemaking. Dinos are not extinct, Stacey, and neither is patriarchy. The end. Oh, we've got a cute message from them as well. They've explained the joke, Jane Atalia, which would have helped you if you'd read it through. They say, hello, sorry to bother you again. I just realised my 1 a.m. upload lacked a little context. My erotica has a French name because I'm a French reader from Paris. Brackets, you've got French fans. Awesome. Jane Atalia is my drag queen name. Yes! Oh. Because I'm also half Italian. So you won that wrong.
I was so right.
You knew that.
I knew that.
Hope this clears things up. Don't know how useful this was. I don't know. I mean, useful.
To be fair, I don't know if many of them are useful.
They're emotionally useful. Don't know how useful this was. I tend to panic a little over these things. Oh, you did a great job.
It was amazing.
Anyway, keep doing an amazing job. Your podcast is truly insightful and inspiring. I hope your audience will grow and grow because you deserve it. Kisses from Paris. I was going to say Parisian kisses, but that just means plain snogging over here.
So what's the problem?
snog. Incredible.
That's amazing.
Thank you so much, Jane Atalia.
Thank you. And if anyone wants to donate, I was about to say, yeah, donate some Dynapon. If you want to write your own Dynapon, you can do it on our website. There's a little form thing.
Yeah, please. Listener submissions make us so happy.
It's so good. It's so good. It's the best thing in the world.
Do you want to do the thing of the week?
Yes, please.
The thing we're plugging this week has got that extra special thing that makes them unique, like a triceratops which has teeth and horns and a beak.
So I want to plug two Instagram accounts that I think are very crucial to follow. One is on Instagram at No White Saviors, which is a really, really great kind of like a meme. Well, not just memes, but any kind of information about, yeah, like basically how to point out your own white supremacy and how you're fucked up. And it's really good because you can think that you're doing all the right things. And then, of course, you realize that, oh, shit, I didn't. There's so many blind spots. Ooh, that's problematic, isn't it, to say blind spots? There's so many things that we still, of course, are unable to see and figure out. So it's a really, and the part of their bio is, if you're not uncomfortable, you're not listening. And I was like, oh, that's good. Now, the other one, unfortunately, it's just for people who speak Danish. It's a Danish account, but it is so, so, so good. Because as I've mentioned before, Denmark is so, so far behind in terms of social justice and feminism and all of those things. It's called at Kringelseskulturelle Memes, so it's long. It's like an epicenter of teaching Danish people about feminism and white supremacy and the patriarchy and all these things that, I mean, there's recently been a huge case in Denmark where some students did blackface and like no one understood that wasn't okay. No one. So this account has just been going in and just, you know, this account tags this now famous supposedly feminist rapper who then did a whole song that had, it was just swurfy and turfy and it was disgusting. So this account goes in and calls them out and like anonymously tries, like, DMs these artists and tries to explain people why it's so wrong what they're doing. It's so important. So if you're Danish listening, which I know we have quite a few Danish people listening, follow Kringelseskulturelle Memes on Instagram. Or if you're in Sweden, Kringelseskulturelle Memes! So that's how you sound.
I'm so sorry if we have any Swedish people in.
Yeah, I'm also sorry if we have any Swedish listeners. So, Jody, do you have anything you want to plug? Where can people find your stuff?
I do have things I want to plug, Sophie. The main one is, if people want to, they should come to my all-women and non-binary comedy night, The LOL Word, which is on the last Thursday of every month. Thank you for doing your silent click and being so into it. At the Albany on Great Portland Street. We are also taking it to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and you can get your tickets now. So please, Lord, do that. It is so expensive. So yeah, you can also catch us at the Edinburgh Fringe with an amazing lineup already sorted. So that's very exciting. And you can also book tickets for Secret Dinosaur Cult at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Are we on sale?
I think we are, yeah, we've gone out.
Oh my God.
I mean, if we're not, we'll cut this out and we'll stick it back in later.
Well, it's definitely confirmed. We are going to Edinburgh.
We are going
to
Edinburgh,
yeah. Five shows, various times, it's all kind of spread out, so at the Bedlam Theatre. Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, so get tickets for that. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Is there anything you would like to plug, Sophie?
I don't know if I've ever mentioned it, but I've released a book. Doesn't matter. My book is out. It's called Happy Fat. You can buy it in shops and stuff now, which is very strange. It's about why it's okay to be fat. And I'm on tour at the moment. I'm all over the UK doing bubble wrap Happy Fat, like a book and stand-up tour. The stand-up show is partly about body image, mental health, and boy bands. I'm doing a new, brand new show in Edinburgh called The Bum Swing, which is definitely also on sale. And it's at 7 p.m. every night at the Queen Dome, and I really love doing it. Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Well done. The book is incredible. You should all buy it.
Thank you.
So. I think that means that we've done all of the things.
Yeah. Are you slowly trying to work your voice up into something that can be ending the show in a more energetic way?
I think you sure bet I am.
I think we really should.
Right now, I'm just going to point at that chair over there. Wow, it's got a nice sheen on it. I let it go.
Oh, you lost it. But maybe there's a way of building it back up.
Oh my God, Sophie. I'm so excited.
I think this has been a really good episode. Thank you so much for coming.
You have been listening to Secret Dinosaur Cult. You can follow us on Twitter at Secret Dino Cult, on Instagram and Facebook as Secret Dinosaur Cult. Sign up for our newsletter on secretdinosaurcult.com, where you can also find tickets for our future cult meetings. And you can give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Secret Dinosaur Cult is a Dying Alone Limited production produced by Justine McNichol, jingle by Harriet Brain, and artwork by Gavin Smart and Annalise Knappa. Thank you for listening.
So much trauma!